Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Roger Sierra.
And we are joined by a man who does not really need an introduction. The voice of many characters that you guys know all too well, the incomparable and legendary John Swayze. John, how are you today?
Well, for a man that needs no introduction, that was quite an introduction. Thank you. I'm doing well, guys. Thank y'all, man. Hope y'all are having a good day. I'm sitting here basking in my I don't know what you call it. It's in my bedroom, but I'm in the suite part, the sit-down area.
Oh, okay.
We had a major storm blow through last night about 3 o'clock in the morning, or so I guess this morning. But I mean, like, you know, one of those that wakes you up. You know how you have those some thunderstorms that are like, oh, this is kind of peaceful. I'm going to drift off now.
Yeah.
And you go into a deep sleep. This was exactly the opposite. It was cracking thunder. Oh. I swear there was a lightning bolt that busted right outside my window, man. And I was like, wow. And so anyway, I had kind of a rough night sleeping, but I'm on my new pain medication and it's a little wonky. So I went and picked up dinner for my family and got some friends over and they were like, I was like, here, y'all can divvy up the food. I'm gonna go lie down for a minute. And that's when I was like, could you give me 10 minutes? And yeah. Then when you said, hey, we'll take all the time you need, I was like, oh, well then I'll have dinner with my family. So I do appreciate your accommodations.
No, we appreciate you joining us this evening.
Yeah.
It truly is an honor.
Oh, well, thank you very much. The honor is all mine. Now, where are you guys located?
I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm in Athens, Tennessee, about an hour away from Chattanooga.
I know, dude. I went to college right between you two.
Oh.
Lee University?
No. University of the South in Sewanee.
Yep.
Oh, Sewanee. Yeah.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, there's a convention coming up in Chattanooga in a month or so in May.
Uh-huh.
And I was really hoping to get asked to be there. I'd love to go because I'd love to get back up to Tennessee. So,
well, we if you know anybody. Oh, Chip, we know a couple.
Yeah.
If you know anybody. Do you know what show I'm talking about?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be there. It's a Metrotham Con.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, if you can make any recommendations to the people there, if you know anyone, I would love to come.
Okay.
I think my agents already sent an email in, but at this point, I'll take any help I can get. I just would love to do it. I love Tennessee immensely.
Yeah.
And
we know,
Tennessee and Texas have a connection, you know, because Davy Crockett and who else, what's his name, not Jim Bowie, but yeah, Davy Crockett. No,
yeah.
Y'all can go to hell, I'm going to Texas.
Yep.
So
it's ironic because I'm originally from Texas and I'm transplanted to Chattanooga, so
yeah. What part of Texas?
I was born in Galveston and lived in Vidor for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha. I just drove through Vidor the other day. I was doing a convention in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Ah, I know Lake Charles. Yes.
Yeah. And my son actually goes to college in Galveston at Texas A&M Galveston.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Dude, all this, you know, things are happening. Serendipity, baby. I got to come to Chattanooga for that convention.
Yes. Well, if not that one, we know two more later in the year that we might be able to help you out on.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good, man.
Two in the later in the year for sure would be a little bit easier for us.
Yeah.
Well, no problem. The only, and I'm not trying to push this. I will come anytime. The only reason I've got a pretty full schedule through the first half of the year through June,
yeah.
And I'm trying to get one more show in May, and that show in particular, there's one in New Orleans and one weekend, and then that one in Chattanooga. And if I had to, I'd love to go to both, but if I had to pick, I'd rather go to the Chattanooga one. You know, that way, and I could take a couple of days and go up and see my alma mater and, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, okay. If you can, if there's anything you can do, I'm buying you drinks.
When we're done with this interview, I'll send that email out. Don't you worry.
Yeah, we'll get that going for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, for those that don't know, tell us, who is John Swayze?
Well, John Swayze is a man of some talent. I was born in Houston, went off to college in Tennessee, knew I wanted to be an actor since I was about 15 years old, and moved back to Houston. And I lived for a little bit in LA, tried to move up to Chicago. None of that really panned out. And I've just, I was finding success here in Houston as an actor. And I was doing a lot of, doing some film and television and that kind of stuff, and doing a lot of voice work, commercials and industrial stuff. And then in 1997, somebody said, you ought to try anime. And I was like, what the hell is anime? And they said, well, it's Japanese animation. I said, well, I don't speak Japanese. And they said, that's not a problem, dude, because we dub it into English. And there was a company in Houston called ADV Films, and which is now Sentai Filmworks. And I started working there. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. Didn't know what I was doing. What I didn't understand was, why do these people all have blue spiky hair? You know, but I was doing animation, which I really, really love. And so then I, after about 4 years of working, and I started going up to Funimation in Dallas, and started directing. And, you know, just kind of fast forward 27 years later, I'm a full-time director at Sentai Films, which is what ADV emerged in, you know, turned out to be. And still do stuff at Crunchyroll now, which used to be Funimation. And it's just been fascinating for me to see how this whole industry has grown and changed and evolved, and just, you know, and it's given careers to a lot of people that really never didn't think much of it. I mean, it, you know, like I said, it was, when I started, it was just another gig, you know, and now it's my only gig. So, and I feel, but I will tell you, I feel very blessed. I feel very fortunate to be surrounded by a bunch of great people, people like y'all, you know, that have a love for this genre and a love for the medium, and it's just, it's great, you know. And I'm just, like I said, I'm just very, very blessed. So I married, have three kids. My daughter Olivia is in New York. She's an actor. She's also done a bunch of anime, but she moved to New York. My son Joshua does some anime as an actor, but he's in college down in Galveston studying marine biology. And then my youngest daughter, Tara, is in high school. And when she turns 18, we'll probably start to do anime as well. We have at Sentai, we have a rule. It's not a hard, fast rule. I mean, we've broken it a couple of times, but we try to make sure that all of our actors are 18. Just because, you know, when people go, so what is anime? And I say, well, anime is Japanese animation, and it's everything from Hello Kitty to Hello Kitty. And so we, you know, we don't, it's like carding somebody no matter how old they are. It's just, if they're 18, you can't get into any trouble going, why is my kid in that weird show with, you know? So anyway, but yeah, so that's me, man. That's me in a nutshell. Big nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
What was the first anime that you voiced?
So my very first show was a show called Golden Boy. Hmm. It's an oldie, and I play the role of the director. In fact, dadgummit, that's one of the things. So, you know, all the actors, you know, we all have our prints of characters we play that we autograph at conventions. Mm-hmm. And I've got about six, you know, like Hohenheim, Crocodile, Lord Death, Undertaker, All for One, Dodoria, and Gendo from Evangelion. Those are sort of my big ones. Salvador from Borderlands 2. And, but every now and then I go, you know, somebody will come up and they go, hey man, do you have a, I love you in, you know, Area 88 or, you know, whatever it is. And I'm just like, oh man, I don't have a print for that. You know, that's rare. So I decided there was going to be a couple of shows that, I was going to get prints made for. So, and I'm just going to carry them with me on the off chance that somebody says, hey, do you have this? I'm going to go, yes, I do. So I'm not going to keep a lot of them on hand. I won't need a lot of them, but anyway, that one right there is actually one of my, I was trying to think of the ones I needed to get and I came up with about five or so. And that was one of them and I forgot. So I'll have to get that one made, you know, next week or so.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Raj. No.
A lot of, and I'll tell you, you know, my, and I hope you don't mind me just rambling on like this.
No.
Go ahead.
My, when I got that job, I went to audition. And you know, like I said, somebody came up to me and just said, hey, you ought to go do this thing called anime. And I said, okay. And, so I went to the studio. They were having open auditions and, you know, there were probably about 10 or 15 people there. And, I went in and they said, now, here's your script. And you had a paper script. And I, bear in mind, I had been in audio booths for years. I mean, I knew my way around an audio booth and I, you know, I was a pro. I mean, that's, you know, I was doing commercials and all kinds of stuff. And, they said, you're going to read your script. There's your video. You're going to watch the video and, you know, put on your headphones. And now when we start recording, when you hear the Japanese start talking, that's your cue to for you to start saying your lines. At Funimation or Crunchyroll, at other studios as well, they use an older system where it's a beep system where you hear a series of three beeps. And on the fourth beep is when you start talking. Well, the premise is the same. We just give it a 3-second pre-roll. You just count it down in your head. But when you hear the Japanese talking, so I was like, okay, that sounds fine. I wasn't exactly sure what they were talking about. But anyway, they said, are you ready to go? And I was like, you bet. And they said, okay, and here we go, and recording. And I was just like, they were like, John? I'm like, yeah. You need to start saying your lines. I'm like, when do you want me to start saying them? When you hear the Japanese voice actor, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. So let's try it again. So, okay, here we go. And recording. John. Yeah. You need to say your lines. I was like, okay, when do I start talking? You know, I could not get it, man. Anyway, they were like, well, you know, I did something. It was a horrible fail. And I'd left and I went out and sat in my car for about 10 minutes. And I came back in. I said, listen, guys, I know you got other people here, but I'm willing to wait as long as I need to, but I really would like to give it another shot. I think I can do better than what I just did. And they're like, okay. So I waited, you know, for like 45 minutes or whatever. And went in and they said, now when you hear the Japanese, I'm like, yeah, I got it, dude. I trust me, I got it. And the minute I heard, you know, I heard Japanese, I just started reading these lines and going nuts with the character. And anyway, they were like, oh wow, that was way better. So can you come in next week? We'd like to book you for an hour and you know, start you on your career, young Padawan. So I worked with a legendary guy. You think I'm legendary? You should. This guy, Matt Greenfield, he's like the flipping godfather of anime. I mean, he's my age, you know, but he started ADV with John Ledford, and together the two of them were, I mean, you know, when I started with that company, you know, it was really small, and within 2 or 3 years, they were the largest distributor of anime in North America. And it was like, one of the puzzling things was, it's like, but we live in Houston, Texas, you know, and there's another big company that's coming along in Dallas, Texas, called Funimation. And everyone was just kind of like, what's going on, man? How did Texas become this mecca for anime dubbing and subtitling, you know? But here we are, so. But that was a long, long time ago, man.
It'd be awesome. I'd love to talk to him and get his thoughts on how the industry has changed since he started ADV, and you know, now what it is. That would be an interesting conversation for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, I think he was actually one of the founders of Anime Expo in LA.
Wow.
Oh. I mean, it's like, you know, back when it was just an anime club.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, talking to him, because I've done a little bit of a deep dive with that as well, man. And I can just tell you that, you know, I mean, the accessibility now that people have to anime compared to what it was in the 70s, because like I realized fairly quickly that, oh, Speed Racer's anime. Oh, I guess I have watched anime growing up. And I love Speed Racer, man. But that was very much, even before Robotech, that was very much an effort for Western companies to localize and Westernize an anime. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no, you know, trying to, let's be true to the Japanese culture. You know, it's like, we're going to change everything about it, you know? But yeah, like Matt was telling me one time that back in the day, you know, film companies would go over to Japan and work on stuff, and they would send back their film dailies and their reels for processing, but they'd throw in some anime, and somebody over here would get this film, and it was, you know, like a 9mm or Super 8 or whatever, you know, and no subtitles, no script, nothing. It was just a movie on a reel. And it's like, you know, Chip, you'd go, well, I'm going to watch this, and then go, I've got a friend who speaks some Japanese, you know, and you'd start to piece together a script, and then you would send it on, you know, you'd watch it for a little bit, then you'd send it on to a friend via mail, and it would kind of make its way around the country, and it may take 6 months or even longer, and everyone just kind of adding to it and creating this Bible, if you will. And then by the time it got back to you or to me or whatever, it'd be like, oh, well, now it looks like we kind of have a script in place, and, you know, we'll watch it that way. And it's amazing how it's, you know, now for $4.99 a month, you can get HiDive streaming platform and have access to more anime than you'll ever watch in a lifetime.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure. So, I personally, you know, I love anime. I watch it all the time. I have two kids, two little boys, 6 and 7 years old. And, you know, their first foray into anime was, we watched Dragon Ball together. I'd watched it, you know, when I was younger, and I sat them down and we watched Dragon Ball all the way through Z, Dragon Ball Z,
right?
Together, and they just fell in love. I actually have a video on my Facebook page of them standing on the bed doing a Kamehameha to me. So
that's funny, man. Well, yeah. You know, that's something too that I find kind of endearing for me is when I'm at conventions and stuff, you know, I'll get people to walk up to my table and it's like, you know, I watched you growing up, you know, you're part of my childhood, and you know, I've got kids now and we watch it together, and you know, it's just really cool to see that generational tradition and you know, the thing kind of being passed down. And you know, it's not just something that was or is for the nerds, or if it is, there are a lot more nerds now that have come out of the closet. And I mean the nerd closet, you know, it's they're just like, because there's so many people that love it, you know.
Yeah, most definitely.
I mean, there's, you know, and you know, it's not just the kids that get beat up that watch it. I mean, you've got athletes and, you know, famous musicians and movie stars, and you know, a lot of them love anime, you know. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on from ADV Films, you said you worked there for about 4 years, and then you started branching out and doing some stuff with what was then Funimation, now Crunchyroll. What was your first break into the Funimation world?
So in anime, there was you know, their Crunch or Funimation, their big show to start things off for them was DBZ. And then they started, you know, that was just a huge moneymaker for them. So they started to get some other really good shows. And at the same time, while they were sort of growing, ADV had sort of an implosion. The market fell apart, you know, the company, I mean, that's way above my pay grade as far as what happened internally. I don't really know. But basically the ADV sort of splintered off and just collapsed. And so while that was sort of happening, a lot of Houston actors were kind of seeing the writing on the wall and kind of said, man, I need to maybe start to go up to Funimation and see if I can't get work up there, because we don't know what's going to happen with ADV. And so that's what I did. I mean, a lot of people did that. Monica Rial, Lucy Christian, Greg Ayers, Chris Ayers, Chris Patton, you know, a lot of us that were kind of the old timers. But anyway, so I got the chance to work on a show called Full Metal Alchemist. And Mike McFarland was the director. And I had sent him my demo and he said, oh, this sounds great, I can put you to work. And so I went up, drove up to Dallas. It's about a 4-hour drive. I drove up to Dallas one morning and met him at the studio. They had, at that time, they had two studios on opposite sides of town. So I worked with him doing some Full Metal from I think it was the movie is before Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And worked on that, and then we got into our respective cars and I followed him over to their main studio, and I worked with a couple other directors, and I can't remember the names of those shows, but you know, it was good. And we had a blast, and that kind of started my career with Funimation. And then, you know, I started auditioning more, and they're always very good about, like, if an out of town actor was coming into town, that they would try to find you more work, because we all got paid by the hour, still do, as far as voice acting goes. It's an hourly thing. So it'd be like, hey, somebody needs you to come up to Dallas for 3 hours. Be like, okay. And then somebody would find out and go, oh, hey, you know what? Swayze's coming up for 3 hours. I can use him in my show for an hour. and I can use them for 2 hours. And suddenly you've got, you know, you're going up to Dallas, not just for 3 hours, you're going up there for 7 or 8 hours, or maybe even 2 days, you know, whatever it might be. But but that, my first show with them was Full Metal. I'll never forget that.
How did you enjoy, how did you like working on Full Metal, coming from ADV, and now you're kind of on this bigger show that really does become a major success? What were your feelings, you know, getting to work on that show?
So, to be quite honest with you, Chip, I still, even at that point, really didn't know much about anime and its popularity. I didn't quite appreciate it like I do now. And so I knew it was a big show. I didn't know how big, but I was really, you know, I was glad to be a part of it, even though it was a small part. It was, you know, a show that I was glad to be a part of. But, you know, throughout the years, I mean, you know, Funimation, I've always thought Funimation was sort of the MGM of anime. And, you know, you had other studios like Viz and what's the other one? Aniplex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other companies that were doing stuff out in California. But nobody was really kind of churning out what Funimation was. I don't know how they did it. I think they just, man, they just picked up on some great shows, you know. But I started to land parts in those shows, and most of the stuff that I do, you know, I don't have the voice for the hero, or the, you know, the kid. I'm usually a villain or a dad or a villainous dad, you know. Usually it's a bad guy of some sort, or, you know, I mean, something like Lord Death and was a lot of fun, and Undertaker from Black Butler was a lot of fun, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten really the chance to play a lot of really wacky characters, which I really love, and really get to expand my vocal range, you know, and play around with it. So I've always been grateful for that. But you know, most of the iconic characters that I play are all from my days at Funimation and Crunchy. You know,
I don't know for sure. So you're doing all this with Funimation, you're meeting all these people and everything. What sort of got you into moving from in the booth to directing?
Money.
Hey, honesty.
It's a powerful driver, man. I'll be honest, powerful driver. Yeah, I wanted more steady work, you know, because I mean, even, you know, no anime voice actor is getting rich just voice acting. I mean, none of them are getting rich, but, you know, the convention scene has certainly been a game changer in that. But, you know, you're making, you know, anywhere from $35 to $150 an hour, but nobody's working 40 hours a week. You know, you're working 10, 20 hours a month, maybe, you know, depending on who you are. So no one's getting rich doing that. So I was like, well, I need to get in the booth. I need to get behind the mic or on the other side of the mic. Pardon me. And so I can have some steady work and, you know, do that. And I started directing, I want to say 2002, 2003, and was a contractor, and I got, you know, hired on, I got laid off, I got hired on, I got laid off, I got brought in for, you know, one or two shows, you know, with the understanding that once those two shows are done, I was back out on the street, you know. So, which was, for me, it was, I won't say it was no big deal, because it is always a big deal. But having been an actor for my entire professional life, it wasn't terrible for me because I was accustomed to the feast or famine, ups and downs, you know, rains it pours, and when it doesn't, it's drier than a Sahara desert, you know. So it all, you know, knock on wood, it's all worked out well. But I started directing really full time probably in about 2016. Yeah, that sounds about right to me. About 2016, I really I got called in by Sentai, and they said, hey, we'd like you to direct this show. And I said, okay. And one of the reasons they brought me in was because Chris Ayers, who was a full-time director at Sentai, had gotten sick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God rest his soul, but, you know, he passed away, but I sort of took his place and, came in and filled the shoes for him, and, have just been there ever since. So now I'm a full-time employee, and, you know, I'll tell you one thing that's changed about anime is, you know, Crunchyroll or Funimation merged with Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were both bought by Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And Sony just said, you know, we're just going to make it one anime company. We don't need two names. And Sentai Filmworks was bought by AMC Networks. So We're like Walking Dead and stuff. So I'm actually an AMC employee now.
Oh, so that's awesome. Cool. I did not know that Sentai had been bought by AMC.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah. So that's it's just, you know, they wanted to get their fingers in the pie. You know, I mean, you've got the MCU, you've got DC, you've got Star Wars, you've got, you know, all these franchise things, and if you think about it, it's like, what else is there? And it's like anime. Yep. You know? And so they were, I mean, Sony probably owns AMC for all I know. They own it. They own everything else. But they, you know, those companies wanted to get a little, you know, get their hands in there so they could have some skin in the game. And, it's been a great ride, man. I mean, I got to tell you, like I said earlier, just it's mind-boggling to me to see how we've gone from, you know, what the hell's anime to, you know, this is my life every day.
Do you remember that first show that you directed?
Oh yeah, it was a show called Wandaba Style, it had Jason Douglas and who else was in it? An actor that actually, Nancy Novotny, she's not really doing anything anymore, I don't think. Kira Vincent Davis, Tiffany Grant, Lucy Christian, you know, just Monica Rial, any actors that I knew that could, you know, do this, I was like, you're in my show, you know. I needed people that knew what they were doing. Jay Hickman, was a good friend of mine, and so I went in and started directing. Back in those days, Sentai, this was back when it was ADV, had five studios, and they had a day crew and then they had a night crew. And I was on the night crew, and literally at 4 o'clock every day, we would, you know, like a shift change at the factory, we'd come in and the day crew would leave and we'd take over and work from 4 o'clock till 10 o'clock. Wow. And, that was, you know, so they had studios running from 9 a.m. till 10 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were really trying to pump it out.
Oh man. They were, you know, their motto was, if we have a studio that's empty, we're losing money. So they were trying to fill it all the time. Just keep everything churning out. And, you know, back then too, ADV also started the Anime Network. Is it Anime Network? I get there's so many things. There's Anime News Network and there's Anime. But they had a video on demand platform. Wow. And they had so many titles, you know. And it was like this was back before streaming was even a thing, you know. I mean, when I started doing anime, it still got delivered to you on a VHS tape. And, you know, you want to watch a season. Well, each tape held, you know, 3 or 4 episodes, cost $25. So in order to watch an entire season of something, you're looking at, you know, 125, something like that, to watch the series. You know, now you can watch multiple seasons for, I think, Sentai's platform High Dive is $4.99 a month, and yep. Crunchyroll's $14.99 a month, or, you know, but then there's also Netflix and Hulu and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, it's a fraction of the price, you know, and it's just amazing. Yeah. But it's also that streaming and dubs, in my opinion, are two of the main reasons that it's exploded in popularity,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I don't want to get into a dub versus sub with anyone, you know, debate, but there is, you know, if you like subtitled movies, great. Most people, I would say, do not. They don't want to read the movie. One of the things about reading the movie is you miss so much of what's going on visually, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that dubs are a huge part of that. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but another reason for the popularity explosion, I think, is the pandemic, you know, because people were stuck in their houses and you can only watch Tiger King so many times. So you've got to, you know, it's like, well, what's this thing called One Piece, you know, like 1,000 episodes. All right, we'll give it a shot. We got time. Who knows how long we're going to be cooped up like this. And you're kind of like, oh, this is actually kind of good, you know, kind of fun. So, yeah, it's amazing. Just the explosion of popularity.
Yes. It's great. Cause like you said earlier, growing up, the people that used to watch it were the ones picked on and bullied and everything like that. But now it's so mainstream. It's kind of like if you don't watch anime, you get bullied for not watching anime. It's kind of reversed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But no, I think anime is one of the great things about it is how it can bring people together from different communities and make people relate. And there's so many anime with good messages and motivations and stuff that really help people out. And a lot of the characters pop depending on the voice acting. Like you said, some people sub, some people dub. I like dub a lot more. Can't say anything else, but, you know, I don't want to start that war either, like you said. But the way to actually experience the emotions and understand it, I think it's different than seeing somebody portray it and then have to read what they're trying to convey.
Well, you know, Roger, you just touched on something that it made me think, you know, the anime community is a very special community, in my opinion. And I'm, you know, there's anime conventions and there's comic cons and, you know, all of these worlds have sort of collided. That's another reason of the popularity, you know, people that were into Star Wars are like, well, wait a minute, what's this thing? Oh, you like that? Well, let me, you know, everyone started kind of sharing stuff, but you know, when you go to an anime convention, it's generally, not always, and it's grown, but certainly in the old days, but it's generally your nerds and geeks and the kids that get beat up and, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. awkward, socially weird, you know, whatever it might be, LGBTQ, you know, whatever, some sort of fringe, yeah. You know. But you go to an anime convention and that's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're welcome to be there. You're welcomed to be there. It's a safe place. And I just love the fact that it's, you know, nobody cares. I mean, people care, but they're not there to judge or to bully. And I'm like, you know, the world could learn a lesson on how to get along by just attending an anime convention. It's not hard, though. Just be nice and support each other. Yeah. And, you know, we've, you know, I've been told, you know, people say things like, God, I love your work and you're amazing, or, you know, and not just to me, but to any actor, you know. And I think for a lot of us, our first reaction was sort of like, oh man, come on. It's no big deal. I'm just a guy. I'm just an actor. I'm just, you know, it's no big thing and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I realized, you know what? If my performance made somebody or had a positive effect on somebody, who am I to say, no, it was no big deal? To them, it is a big deal, you know? And I just think that you have to honor that. Don't rob them of their joy. You know, when somebody comes up and says, I've been at conventions, and it's not just me. Many of my friends, actor friends, have had this very same experience where it's, I came to this convention because you were here. I've been wanting to meet you for 5 years. You know, I mean, that's, dude, I got to tell you, man, that's heavy stuff. You know, it's humbling. But you have to honor them. You can't just blow it off. You have to, you know, hey man, this is cool. You know, or, you know, I've had people, again, so many of my friends that, you know, somebody will tell you, you know, I was in a bad place. I was in a dark place. You know, I was cutting myself, or I was hurting myself, and I was, you know, seeking to do harm to myself. And I saw you in a performance, and I just kind of resonated with it, and it changed my life and pulled me out of the funk. And I'm here today because of that. And I'm just like, wow. I mean, you know, that's some heavy stuff, you know, but it's important that, you know, you honor those people and give them the respect that they deserve and that they crave, but they certainly deserve it. And so I just love the community, you know, that this has created. And you know, my kids are into it, or at least one of them is. My son, he's really into it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. I really enjoy just being in it, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Why do we always do stuff like that?
Because we are one and the same.
Pretty much. No, I can truthfully and wholeheartedly say that anime has made me feel more emotion than probably any other medium out there. So many relatable characters, so much life experiences can be learned, or if you're going through something and you see somebody else going through it. That's why I say, like, anime probably has the best motivational systems out of anything, because you can find characters like Goku or Deku from My Hero, Tanjiro. No matter what experience they're going through, what hardship they're going through, they still have positivity and hope, and it just, mm-hmm. You can sort of feel it. Like, you can understand it. And when it's conveyed, you're seeing it, you're listening to it, you understand, you put yourself in that position. You're like, what I'm going through right now may be hard, but I can push forward like they are. And then when they finally accomplish it, or when you accomplish something like that, just that ecstasy feeling of like, anime helped me get through something. And I've always told people, watch anime. Just watch anime. You'll find something. There's always something for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll get you through something. Always and forever.
Yeah. That's an excellent point, Roger. I mean, it just, there's so many things out there, you know, and there's so many different types of shows, and yeah, there's something for everybody, you know,
for sure.
It doesn't mean you're going to like all of it, but it's always when people like don't know what it is. And I, you know, made the joke about Hello Kitty earlier, but it's just, it's like, you know, when people go, what is anime? And I'm like, well, it's Japanese animation. Oh, isn't it that porn thing? I'm like, no, it's not.
No.
I mean, there's
subsection.
American porn. I mean, you know, that's like somebody that's never seen anything on American television and their first show is Game of Thrones. Well, I mean, what are you are you going to base everything on that show? No. Or Saved by the Bell. You're going to base, that's what American television is? Like, no. It's part of it. You know, it's part of the, it's one little tiny square in the fabric of the, you know, the quilt. Yep. But it's, no, there's so much more to it. So it does, it can touch a lot of people and reach a lot of people. And I think, you know, I'm seeing as a director, you know, the anime is not alone in this, but anime is reacting to the fans. I mean, things like, you know, we're seeing more people of color in anime characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly the LGBT community's always been fairly well represented in that. But I mean, we're just seeing all kinds of changes that I think are for the better, you know, that are coming down the pike. So it's, they're reacting to society and they're not just trying to, no, we're going to stay the way we are. You know, they evolve, yeah. You know, just like everybody else. So yeah, it's a really cool thing to be a part of, man, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Especially from our perspective, like you were talking about earlier, like people coming up to you and expressing, you know, they waited years to see you or something like that, or your friends or anything. But that's how we are when we go to conventions. We look up who's going to be there. And we're like, oh, we get to meet this person. We discuss, like, when we went to the one here recently, we were nervous to meet the Ninja Turtle voice actors. Like, we grew up on that, but 20 something years of like not being able to see these people and now get to talk to them, and we just turn back to children. That's the best feeling about it.
Right. I mean, that's, and what a joy that is, you know. Mm-hmm. What a joy that is to get to relive that and just go, you know, you're a big part of why I turned out the way I turned out, you know. And
yeah,
I think that's important.
Yeah. So just to step back just a little bit, not to take away from the deepness of the conversation, but do you remember the first convention, anime, Comic-Con, whatever, that you were invited to as a guest?
Yes, it was a show called MetroCon in Tampa, Florida. And I went because my best friend at the time, he's actually since passed on, but my best friend at the time lived there with his family, and I thought, oh great, a free trip to go see my friend, you know, that's really all I cared about. And that was actually my first convention and my second convention. I did it the next year. And you know, back in those days, though, you know, again, this is another testament to how is anime, you know, what's the state of anime. When I started doing shows in golly, that must have been 2000, 2001. There were two or three shows a month somewhere. Now there's six and seven shows a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, dude, I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, Tampa, it was a fun show. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. I still didn't really know what was going on, You know, there was one time Monica Rial was there and she was kind of taking me around. A buddy of mine, Kyle Jones, was also there. And she was taking us around to kind of, you know, show us the ropes, as it were, you know. And it was Saturday night and she goes, well, let's go see what's in this room. And she opened the door and she was like, whoa. And just this wall of con funk just came pouring out. Man, she's like, no, we are not going in there, man. Oh, my God. It was the most foul thing you've ever smelt in your life.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that hadn't changed much.
No. Every convention I go to where they have an opening ceremonies, they always say, and remember, eat, stay hydrated, and bathe.
might have to start walking around handing out deodorant to everybody.
I tell you, man, if you're a vendor, you can just sell cans of aerosol and probably make a fortune.
Oh, I bet. Although, I bet.
They, you know, they tell you it's like Axe body spray is not a shower.
Oh, for sure. What they need to do is set up like a little kiddie pool and just put a hose on people when they come by.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So real quick, we were talking about the big names that you played and everything, like voice and everything like that. And you mentioned All For One, and it is now spring season of anime, which means season 7 of My Hero Academia is coming out. Is there anything you could, obviously not spoil or give away any information, but how was it working on this season? Because I've read the manga and everything. I keep up with it, so I sort of know what the direction is going to.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to like see it and voice it at the same time, like trying to do it. What is this season? How do you feel how big the season is going to be?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be huge, to be quite honest with you. We haven't started it yet. So I just got a call to go in and record.
Oh,
next week. I've got some other stuff I'm working on, but they wanted me to come in and record, but it's not for very much. So I too am aware that All For One is about to have his day in court, and it's all about to come down big.
Yep.
Whether or not, I don't know if that's season 7 or if they're going to drag it out to a season 8. I don't know. I really don't. Or maybe, you know, maybe they're just starting off slow in season 7 and then it will, you know, come out, you know, and I just don't know. There's no way for, you know, we, as actors, we don't get told anything. We get told, hey, we need you for this much time on this day. We go in, we record, and that's all we know. You know, we don't get a script ahead of time. We don't get anything. We just, and there's, you know, people ask me like, well, do you read the manga? And I'm like, no. Because, you know, there's also never, you don't know what they're going to take from the manga and put it into the anime.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a book and a movie. Mm-hmm. You can't fill the whole movie with the book, or you can't fill the movie with the whole book.
Yeah.
You got to have to take pieces and combine stuff. And, you know, so I don't really know what they're going to do. Now, I don't think they're going to just gloss over All For One.
I hope not.
I think you would have some pretty pissed off fans, you know.
For sure.
I'm really looking forward to what's about to happen. So not only with him, but also with Crocodile in One Piece.
Yep.
Because he and Buggy and what's his name? They're doing the Cross Guild.
Yes, the
Mihawk.
Mihawk, yes. I was going to say the wrong name.
Yeah, but so I'm looking forward to that too, you know. And Black Butler is coming back for a third season or fourth season. And I play The Undertaker in that. So, you know, I've got three shows that, you know, here we are in... I found out about all this last year and I was super excited, but here we are in April and I have yet to, I've recorded a little bit of Crocodile, but I have yet to record anything else. So I'm kind of I'm kind of chomping at the bit, man, because, you know, I think once we start recording this stuff and it gets rolling, then, you know, my stock value will increase, and I'll, then the folks in Chattanooga will be going, please, can you get John Swayze?
Right.
Well, I mean, we're saying it already, like,
yeah.
But speaking of One Piece, here recently, Netflix did a live action adaptation.
Yes.
Did you watch that by chance or peek at it or anything?
I have not watched it yet. I'd like to. And I probably will. You know, a lot of times people ask me, like, hey, what's your favorite anime to watch? And I'm like, dude, I've been working in this business for 27 years. I direct 5 days a week or 4 days a week, unless I'm traveling to a convention. But I do not come home and unwind by watching more anime.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm doing anything else, doing interviews like this with you guys, you know? And so I don't really watch any anime outside of what I'm directing. Now I've kind of forgot what the question was.
The live action.
Oh, yeah. The live. I would like to see that. I've heard it's really good. And I've heard that season 2 Crocodile is supposed to show up.
Yep. I'll hint to that because that was the big news about it.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about that, man. Really excited about that. I haven't heard who's playing him. I heard a rumor it might be Oscar Isaac, but I have no idea.
Oh,
that would be
my man.
Yeah.
So,
and before you ask, nobody has called me to get any consultation on how he should be played.
No, my question was going to be, since you do voice Crocodile, do you think that Oscar Isaac would be a good choice? Now, we know that it's just a rumor as of right now, but do you personally think that he would be a good choice to play that character in the live action?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because then there's a good chance I might get to meet him.
Hey, if you do, let me know, because I want to meet him too.
Hey, right? Man, I'm telling you, if I could, I'd be all over that.
Dude,
that would be great. In fact, what I'd love to do, I think Colleen Carroll got to do this, but she got to do a convention with the actor that plays Luffy in the live action.
Yeah. What is it?
And I thought, wow, what a pairing that must be, you know, come get an autograph from the live action actor and the dub actor, you know, that's pretty sweet.
And the cool thing about the cast that they've gotten for them so far is that they're all actual One Piece fans. Like, they literally talk about how much they love the anime and how they feel about playing each person specifically. And it's just good to know that you're not just hiring somebody who doesn't know the source material and doesn't take it serious either.
Well, and I think that's why it's been so successful. Mm-hmm. If, you know, Oda didn't go, write me a check, y'all do whatever you want. You know, he was like, yeah, if we're going to do this, I'm involved big time, like at the center. And, you know, because a lot of anime has, when it's tried to make the jump from anime to live action, has failed pretty miserably. You know, there's been an exception here or there, but, you know, the problem really is, in my opinion, well, there's several problems, but one is, you know, they take the product and they just, you know, Hollywood ruins it.
Yeah.
But the other thing too is that in anime, it's animation. You can do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. There are no limitations. But in live action, you're limited by the special effects that you've got on hand. So, yes. You know, if you can't make it look really good, it's going to look really bad. And that is going to be, it's like with a dub, when the lip sync is off, that you get fixated on that and you can't even enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well,
boy,
this
don't
sucks.
I know that.
Yeah. So.
Oh. Let me get a drink too.
Mm. So you've voiced hundreds of characters throughout your career. And I tend to ask this to anybody that we interview. Everybody always has a different way of going about it. But the voices that you have are like your children. You're not supposed to have a favorite, but in the quiet of the night, there's a favorite. So for you, of all your voices, who's that favorite?
So we were just talking about this at dinner. If I had to pick, it would be a character I did named Kumatetsu from a movie I was in called The Boy and the Beast.
And yes, love that anime. Love it.
That's why. It's a beautiful anime. Mm-hmm. I love playing that character. The cast is amazing. I play Kumatetsu the Beast. The boy is played by first Lucy Christian. And then as Kuta grows older, he is taken over by Eric Vale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Eric and Lucy are good friends of mine. And I love their work and in awe of them. And, that's probably my favorite. I love All for One. I love Crocodile. I love Lord Death. I love Undertaker. I love, you know, all of them. Now, I will say things like Salvador, as much as I love Salvador and as much as I love, would love a spin-off video game from Borderlands, you know, called Salvador's Follies or, you know, something. That is a very difficult voice to maintain because everything is like this, you know, and he's always just very big. But I still love the voice. It's just hard to do, hard to maintain. Yeah. But yeah, so that's a tricky question. You know, it's like saying who's your favorite voice actor to work with or your favorite director to work with. And, you know, but yeah. Anyway. Hey, fellas, we got to wrap this up pretty quick because I got to get on to my next thing.
Oh, yes. No, for sure. Go ahead, Chip.
I was gonna, my next question was literally going to be, what's next for John Swayze?
So, you know, just kind of more of the same. I do a lot of conventions every year. I do about 45 appearances a year. And so, you know, come out and see me. I know that, you know, you said this earlier, Chip, but, you know, a lot of voice actors are appearing at conventions. And it used to be conventions were sort of driven by the number one reason was people wanted to go hang out with their friends. Number two was people want to go to the vendor hall and the, you know, artist alley. And then number three was they wanted to see their favorite voice actors. But I think that has changed. I think number one is still they want to go be with their friends and party. You know, everyone wants to be with their own tribe. You know, mm-hmm. We all want to hang out together and do the things that we all share in common. But I think the next thing is probably they want to go see their favorite voice actors and meet them. And, you know, I've always wanted and hoped to be, and I think I'm do this successfully, but just be very accessible to people. You know, I'm not you can't talk to John. He's, you know, I mean, if I'm tired, I'll tell you guys, I got to get some sleep. But I mean, if I can, I'll talk to you all night long. And I'm always, you know, loving the fact that, you know, people want to talk to me. And conventions for sure. I've got a couple of projects I'm working on with some friends, and we'll hopefully get those off the ground. But we've been working on them for a long time. So really, until we get a lot closer, I'm not going to talk about it too much because it's been, hey, whatever happened to that project you mentioned 5 years ago? You know? So anyway, but yeah, so just kind of more of the same and just keep on trucking.
All right. Roger, you got anything?
I mean, where can people find you on socials or website or anything like that?
Yeah, just, I'm on Facebook and Instagram primarily. I do have Twitter or whatever it's called, which I never look at. And, I do have a TikTok, which I rarely look at. I'm very bad about social media. I just don't have time for it, man. I mean, it's brutal. Yeah. So, but definitely, you know, if you friend me on Facebook or Instagram, I will friend you back. I will accept and friend you back. No questions asked.
Awesome.
All right.
All right. Well, John, we know you got a lot to do. You got some things going on. So we greatly appreciate you joining us tonight. I heard one time that the greatest thing that a man or that a person can give another person is their time. And we greatly appreciate you gracing us with your time this evening.
You bet, fellas. It's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. And I hope that, I do appreciate you making any kind of call to anybody in Chattanooga. But that aside, I do hope that maybe we get a chance to hang out together in person.
Oh, for
sure. I'll buy you that drink.
definitely looking forward to that. You know, we go around to conventions and do interviews and try to, you know, bring the convention to people who can't be there.
Sure.
That's one of the things that we really enjoy doing. So, you know, hopefully we'll see you in person at one of those very soon.
Right.
Yeah. So, going forward, you know, go to John's Facebook page, shoot him a friend request. Like he said, he'll come and, friend you back and, you know, maybe
take it from there.
Yeah. maybe he'll shoot you a message or something. You never know. Very busy man. But you know, as always, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on Spotify and right here on YouTube.
And thank you, John, so much. We really appreciate it. We learned a lot about the business and a lot about you. So for everybody out there, I want to say it myself, we appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you, fellas. Y'all have a good night. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Sure.